10 years would have had the rushing numbers we had at Florida, or the rushing numbers we had in Tuscaloosa today, or the rushing numbers we had against that Georgia team 2 weeks ago. I think what we're doing right now is getting better and better, and we're doing it with two freshman offensive linemen now playing. We're really, and a true sophomore starting at center, and those may be our three best linemen. They're definitely better than the guy playing left tackle, and I love that kid. He plays all his heart, but he's not the most physically gifted kid. I think we all know that number 51, Drew Richmond, probably is going to be an upgrade at the left tackle position here shortly, probably about 12 months from now, 10 months from now. Let me ask y'all this. Next year, our top 44 players, which would be our two deep on offense and defense, how many of those guys are first year players next year? If you look at our roster. How many first year on our roster next year, whether it be JUCO or true freshmen coming in, get in our top 44 players next year?
I haven't done the math. I have no idea. Go ahead. Give me the number.
I'm asking you. Y'all are the experts. I don't know, and I don't imagine any.
Oh, I don't know about that. Come on now.
There's no incoming receivers next year. They're going to crack our top eight.
I have trouble saying that, and here's why. Of course, I'm going to defer to you. You've proven your expertise here tonight, but I'll tell you this. You didn't think Derek Barnett was going to play when he walked on this campus, did you?
No.
Okay. Well,
I'm going to be in rotation. I think he's going to play. I mean, I knew we were real bad when he got here.
What history teaches me is I can't say for certain whether because somebody has a star ranking by their name. Either
we don't know what receivers Tennessee's going to bring in next year. I mean,
that's my point.
About?
That's my point. I can't make a statement like that you can make.
I tell you what, there's one position that I could see somebody getting in the two deep next year, and that's if we could really recruit a free safety. That's the one position next year that we don't have returners in the two deep at every position that we feel good about.
I'll give you a crazy thought, and I said this earlier. I would really think about taking that kid from Nashville and playing him at safety next year.
Jennings.
You guys can laugh at that. No, his play on that ball tonight, first of all, he was excellent in high school there. His play on that ball tonight when he saved that interception was a special, special ball skills football because he was in no position to make that play.
Yep. I wouldn't be surprised at all if you're starting safeties. TK and Juwan Jennings. That'd be two.
I'm telling you, man.
Big time athletes back there.
I'm telling you.
Unfortunately, right now we're playing three strong safeties.
Yes.
Between McNeil,
you're right.
TK and Randolph, and we don't have a single free safety on that side of the ball. And the free safety on our team's probably playing wide receiver.
Which is really strange. I mean, you would think
it's a Carl Pickens situation. It's very similar to Carl in 90.
And you would think they would see that because.
They're going to go and become a a power running team, which is where it's headed, which I think is a good development this year.
With that personnel they have.
And you can't get your receivers involved consistently anyway. You might as well take that guy and move him back there where he'll have more of an impact on the game.
He's an insanely talented kid.
Oh, I agree, Tony. And Russell, I agree with all y'all. But I think the thought is he may be the most physically gifted wide receiver we have, too.
Yeah.
So that's the dilemma of Carl Pickens. He was our best safety in 1990. He was also our best receiver, and they had to choose at some point.
Yep. And he was probably the best basketball player on campus.
I think Preston Williams is your most talented wide receiver. You just need to get him healthy and experienced, and you'll be fine
right.
there next year.
Yeah,
so.
that's true. But we're still not to a year from ACL, right, with Preston. I think that was he was limping into the season, pardon the pun.
Rusty, I like that thought about the 2D next year and the new kids. I got to think about that. But I will tell you this, and I just caution all involved on this deal. It's really hard to project who's going to take that next step, who's not, who's going to have a good summer, who's not. I've just seen it so many times. And then you see a guy like Barnett walk on your campus who is kind of an afterthought, and he blows up. And then you're just sort of like,
but
what?
He had room to blow up into, and I think the caller's point is that
we had booty before him.
You're not gonna. There's not this desperate need anywhere.
But here's
next year.
But here's the
thing. Like there was last
but
year.
But here's the thing.
End.
Do do we know that they're all going to be healthy in that two deep?
Well, you never know.
Well, that's my point. And the way it goes around here, you might have 9 injuries.
Well, you got to get them. That's why you got to get one of the magic tents.
Go ahead.
Okay. At tackle, you return O'Brien. You return McKenzie and Tuttle. You return Quay Piku.
Nobody's
you return
playing.
Bickers.
You're not playing there.
What now?
Nobody's playing there, right?
Right. You're not getting into too deep at the defensive tackle position.
No.
And I believe you return. No, you lose Owen Williams. So you return 6. You at defensive end, you return LaTroy Lewis. You return Corey Vereen, Kyle Phillips, Derek Barnett.
Wow.
At linebacker, you return Bates, who still hadn't played. You return Reeves Maven. You return Kirkland. You return Bynum. There's more. It's, I'm blanking right now. You might lose Sutton. I mean, there's a chance we lose Sutton, but if
gone.
Not, you return Sutton, Foreman, Martin, and 12, Mosley.
That's your spot. Your secondary is your secondary is your spot.
Galdon. Oh, yeah, and we get
and
Galdon
back. Comes back. But that really is your spot where you could see somebody make an impact. And maybe you, who knows, maybe on the offensive line some world beater shows
how
up.
How bad are we waiting for the day when our starting offensive line is a junior, Coleman Thomas, Chance Hall, Jack Jones, Denzel Boware, and Drew Richmond?
Yeah, you're going to get back to business.
Yep, and it don't matter. And truthfully, it doesn't matter if you run I formation or you run out of.
No, Rusty, we're all arguing and we're laughing with each other after games instead of at each other's throats.
And the God's honest truth is, and I'm kind of breaking down my own argument here. I'm shooting myself in the foot. It doesn't really matter what offense you run when you got great offensive line play.
Right, which was Jerry's point. Because here's the thing. You could take Hurd. He's such an excellent back, and this is what's so unique about him, which is why I love people who compare him to Marcus Allen and guys like that, is you could take a guy like that and play him in any style, and he's going to look good in any offense because he's a hell of a player. And I don't
know
if
now you made my point, because that's what I said earlier.
Yeah, I don't know
if
we
sweeper up the middle. He's good either way.
Yeah, but my whole thing is our sweeps. My whole problem with Tennessee's offense is, even versus some of the other spread teams I see, is that we do so much stuff that takes way too long to develop, and it's just frustrating to watch. But
I'll tell you, the biggest thing that bothers me about the offense is when we run the jet sweep motion in front of the quarterback, and we use that and play action to the running back.
Too much.
And Dobbs has got his eyes looking down at the ground, reading the or faking the play, running the play fake. And it takes so long for him to get his eyes up and find a guy to throw it to. I wish we had more quick throws built into our passing game.
Which, back to Glanville again, he made a point to me Thursday, which had me thinking. He said, you know, Tony, I hear you talk about how Josh Dobbs isn't accurate. He said, you could take any quarterback in the world and stick him back there, and if you ask him to do that much on any one play, anybody's going to have trouble setting their feet and finding an open receiver downfield. He said they're asking that kid to do. He said they're taking something that's already difficult and they're making it nearly impossible for him. They need
to
simplify.
It's a little too much
doing.
Window dressing on some of the pass plays.
And they love it. They're cute, you know, and they everybody wants. That's the way football is now. So hey, listen, man, I appreciate your time, Rusty.
Hey, thank y'all. I'm sorry for being riled up earlier.
Hey, I love riled up. I deserve it, brother. Take care.
No, you're the best.
Have a good one, man.
Hey, Jerry.
Jerry left us. He got blowed up. I don't know what the deal is. Thank you.
When you get a chance, tell Jerry.
It's good conversation.
I wish I could have seen him play a full season.
I know, don't we all? He's a great man. Thank you.
Later.
Can you reconnect with Jerry,
call
please?
In the history of we're having fifth
fun.
Quarter.
We're having fun here. We've had a few marathons.
Oh, I like it. It's confrontation. It's good stuff.
We love confrontation. 2 calls in a row. I need you to call him. So, Russell, where can they find you these days? Is this Russell Smith here?
It's a good question.
Was on something called KnoxTalkRadio.com. Line 4, you want to use line 4, son?
What?
You want to use line
quattro.
4, son? Quattro. Go ahead, Dubsy.
I'm on Twitter, @ Russell WNFC.
It's been reduced to this. We're at Twitter.
Mixing it up with people. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm giving serious consideration. I have a lot of fun doing Periscope at halftime of these games. I think I'm just going to invest in a bullhorn and do a show from my porch every day from 3 to 6. People just come by and
scream and yell.
Yeah.
Let's just Periscope in the mall. Let's just go sit down in the mall.
That's a great idea.
Court.
Periscope
is actually
not bad. Yeah, so facebook.com/thedrivewithrussellsmith. We have some fun there. Just posted a topic there. If folks want to talk about the game, facebook.com/thedrivewithrussellsmith. At Twitter, on Twitter, at RussellWNFZ, which I guess I need to change now since I'm not on WNFZ anymore.
Jerry didn't answer. I'm a little worried about him. Let's get Hammer back in here.
I think he's highly offended by Rusty's just coming after him.
Yeah. Hammer, welcome in, brother.
Hey, Tony, man, it is great tonight. Russell, I miss you on the radio, buddy.
Thank you.
Every afternoon, I'd be flipping channels to you guys. The rest of the stuff is not really worth listening to. I'm kind of curious. I did not get to see the game. I was on the interstate, and my daughter was telling me, how many field goals and stuff did we miss?
Three.
Three?
Yes.
Question for you guys. Oak Ridge has got a place kicker punter that absolutely nobody has talked to until 2 weeks ago. Minnesota flew him out. Arizona State is flying him out. And this week, Florida has called up to get him to come down. Now, the worry for me and the question for you guys, Tennessee is not even looking at him. Not talk to him at all. The kid can kick 55-yard field goals. I've seen him put them over the goalpost in warm-ups. He consistently kicks 7 yards deep, if not out of the end zone, on the kickoff. What's going to happen? We've got a guy from 5 minutes down the road that signs with Florida and comes up and puts a dagger in our heart for the next 4 years.
I mean, that would definitely be a tough blow for Tennessee, but the issue Tennessee's dealing with right now is with the recruiting class that they're going to be able to sign, it's going to be a smaller class. They've got limited numbers, and they've got needs on other parts of the roster. I don't know if they're willing to put another guy on scholarship when you've still got George Bullock and you're going to have Aaron Medley and some of the punters. It's a tough blow for sure, but if you're the kid from Oak Ridge, if you do have an offer from Minnesota and Arizona State and Florida and you're getting a scholarship, if Tennessee can't offer you one, then he's got to do what he's got to do.
Well, I kind of thought it was probably that numbers game because they have gone after some kickers. But when you're having problems the way we're having, I don't see why we're not either changing or just trying to go somewhere else, because it's like we've had problems the last couple of years. And I've liked the guys, but there's been an inconsistency that we should not have.
Well, I definitely would have changed at the half. I'd have brought in Bullock. I mean, if you're putting Bullock on the plane and you're not going to play him in that situation,
then
I guess he's there just in case of injury.
Well,
I mean,
yeah, but that's kind of ridiculous, though. You're only allowed so many guys. And if you're having problems, I mean, even middle school stuff or rec softball, if you're having problems, you change out and you get somebody that's working.
I think we're all in agreement there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I hope you get back on the radio soon. Beano, or Tony, I got to see Beano and Freddie and Jackie and Buddy and those guys' ball game last night. It was great. Like to get you to come out to the game if you'd like to, for bring your son out for the playoffs or something. So, guys, take care.
All right, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Let's bring in our next caller this evening here on the fifth quarter. Hello, caller. You're on the air. Oh, yeah. Pushing a button.
Hello?
Hard work. No wonder we're not.
I just went upstairs to scare our next caller in here. I'm sorry about that. I had to go up, and please be patient with me. Mark, you're in Columbus. Mark, I just took 5 Advil. I don't know if you've ever been there. But
sounds good. Your liver I am not, appreciates that.
Well, hey, I'm not joking. And I'm going to wash it down with a Xanax here in a little bit. So there you go. Do tell, Basilio. Hey, it's a controlled substance. I'm under the care of a doctor.
That explains a lot.
Yes. Mark, get in here. Welcome to the Smart Way Dalton Bearing Hydraulic Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction.
Hey, Tony. Three things. One, I give all credit to Butch Jones for this. He has really, really closed the gap from a talent and physicality standpoint with Alabama. we look to be their physical equal or close to on the field, and we weren't even light years close to them 2, 3, 4 years ago. That's first. Second, look at how the teams that have played Alabama, how they perform the next week. Ole Miss going down to Florida, Texas A&M going to Ole Miss tonight. Tennessee better be on their toes come next Saturday, because I bet you they had a lot of starch taken out of them in this game. It was physical. It was a man's game. Both teams were hitting. They need to be alert and on their toes this week practicing going up there to Kentucky, or they can get bit. And tonight my dad, I was talking to him, and he goes, he doesn't know a lot about Tennessee football. I mean, he follows a little bit because he knows I'm a fan and everything. He goes, I'm kind of worried about that coach. He says, I'm worried he's going to have a stroke. He's so red in the face. Talking about Butch Jones.
You know, I kind of like Butch's sideline demeanor the last couple of weeks. It looks like he's kind of calming down. Now, I know he likes to go crazy on officials. But I think it's, hey, there's something to be said for your first point about the talent level. Tennessee, that was an elite team in college football that Tennessee played toe-to-toe. Now, granted, they were in their eighth game in 8 straight weeks. They were tired. Alabama was a tired team today. And they probably didn't run their back as hard as they have. He was coming off a 35 carry week, which is what I was counting on, and Jerry was counting on it too. Mark, I'm telling you, man, if we knew how to finish games, we could have won that game today, and that's what bothers me. And I know next year is next year, and we've all been kind of next. Man, we've had so much next year around here. It's just like I got next year fatigue. Next year better come next year, or this is not going to be pretty. Do you know what I mean by that, Mark?
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, if but the fact that we can watch the game on television and not see a huge difference in how we look in our uniforms and pads, how Alabama looks in their uniforms and pads, is just light years improvement from the Dooley era and the beginning of the Butch Jones era. We couldn't even compare to them two, three, four years ago, just from bodies on the field. And we have freshmen on the offensive line today, and they looked the part. We were, from a physical standpoint, we were their equal. Now, they are used to being in big games and in tight situations, and they handled it better than we did. But that part I'm encouraged about is at least we look, like I said before, we look like an SEC football team again, because for a while there, we looked like a Sun Belt team. We looked small in our uniforms. We were slow. We played with amazing team speed out there today. And we were their physical equal. They made a couple more big plays than we did. And I've been down. I mean, obviously, I've been down on Butch Jones after some of these games. We should have been 6-0, 7-6-0 going that football game. But I give him credit because he has lessened that gap, because that thing was as wide as the Grand Canyon. And now it's a sliver, maybe even equal as far as talent level of the teams we're going up against.
You know, I think that I appreciate your phone call, because here's what I'm having trouble doing, and I got to learn how to do this, because I got to do this for a living, and you don't. I got to figure out a way to let the Florida game go and let the Oklahoma game go. And that frustration's come out tonight, and I just want to apologize to the
You'll let it go when they win a big game.
Yeah, but Mark, I got to let it go, man. I got to let it go.
It was malpractice.
Yeah, I got to let it go, though, Mark. I got to let it go.
He didn't do anything today. He makes mistakes. Yeah, they all make mistakes during the game, but he didn't do anything to lose in the game. He lost 2 games this year. Him personally. And as a coach, and you said it before, it's 85% recruiting and getting the talent in. But when so 15% of it shouldn't determine a football game, and he determined the football game twice in a negative fashion. Him. Not the players. Him. He lost 2 football games. That's hard to do. I mean, to make this egregious malpractice like that. We all should have been mad. We had a reason to be mad. Anybody that says we don't, they're kidding themselves.
Personally, though, for my own sanity, when I look at today's game, the gap has been closed, and I just know that I'm just speaking of me. Okay, I'm not telling you how to think. I got to let it go. And it's hard. Because that Florida game, man, that Florida game, I don't want to go back to that. I just, today was a real step forward. But it's kind of like these guys tonight in studio said, and somebody on Twitter said, Georgia Tech, man, they picked a block punt up, or a block field goal up, and ran it back against a number six team in America, and their season is awful. I was down there last week. They don't have three players that could play for Florida State's football team. And you could analyze college football all you want. All I want from us is a couple of college football moments this year. How come we don't get that? Does that make any sense?
Why don't we get a lucky break?
That's what I'm saying.
Why don't we get a lucky break?
Right.
You would think it would turn around and be in droves, and hopefully that happens the rest of the year and next year, because I do think we're there. Before, we weren't even close. We're there now. And I thought this year, I thought, he's going to be on a close and equal footing. Now we're going to find out if he can coach or not. And
next year's going to be fun.
What I want to see, too, is I want to go to a game in Neyland Stadium where we're in the top 10 and we're playing somebody in the top 10. And it's just big time. Kind of like the Oklahoma game this year, but even more, where it's just completely electric and you're on the edge of your seat the entire game, and it's like a Florida 98 moment. I want to go to Neyland Stadium when it's like that.
You know what? I don't think when you have Tennessee's history and you have that athletic budget, I don't think that's too much to ask for. I don't think that's unrealistic at all. But listen, man, Mark, it's always great talking with you, brother.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for being there, man.
Let's hope they're on their toes next week, because teams get the starch taken out of them when they play Alabama. They're so physical.
That's really true.
They're on their toes. Mm-hmm.
Kentucky, I'll tell you this tonight. Kentucky's getting their eyeballs beat shut tonight.
They're getting physically manhandled.
And you know what? Which means they'll come out hungry the next game. That's the way the college football kids work. They get drilled, and they go off the next game and play off their feet.
They look like they're on my cocktail of medication right now. Thank you. Have a good night.
All right, buddy.
Thanks. Question for you, Tony.
Go ahead.
If we're going to talk about Alabama being down and being flat today,
yeah,
and not giving their best effort,
right,
then how much can we continue to talk about Tennessee closing the gap?
Well,
how much of it was Tennessee closing the gap, and how much of it was Alabama not playing up to their potential?
We don't want to think about that, Rich. Come on.
No, but I'm an eye test guy. I think all year I've kind of thought that our talent's better than people.
I agree. I'm with you on that.
And I think today they proved it.
I think so, too.
But Alabama is a tired team. I don't think those are mutually exclusive concepts. I have two more phone calls in me, so it's going to be Greg in Columbia, Toby in Johnson City, Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction. It has been a real tough show to do, but kind of a fun show to do. And I apologize for getting angry a few times. And I got to get better. I got to get better.
1% better.
Well, I don't know about that, but
we can keep going till 9:30. Then we can watch the Jags and the Bills kick off.
Wow, that's a pretty sad.
You know, if Roger Goodell and these folks in the NFL really want to, export the pro game, why are we always sending them the Bills and the Jags and the Dolphins and all these crappy teams?
It's like some of the stuff China imports here. Let's get Craig in Columbia here. Greg, I'm sorry. Greg, you're in Columbia. Welcome.
Yeah, I am.
Thanks,
hey,
man.
How's it going, guys?
Oh, it's a great. It's a good night. Yeah, yeah. Thanks.
Not bad. I'm not as teed off after this game as I've been with the losses we've had, but I need the guys. Y'all need to kind of soak this in a minute. We've heard Coach Jones practically in his post-game comments. Somewhere in the post-game comments, You know, we're still learning to finish, whatever. I think the coaches need to listen to that as well. They're the main ones that need to learn to finish the damn game. You got athletic guys who have kept you in this game all day long. You got 2 minutes and 24 seconds when you get the ball there at the end of the game, and you're running up the freaking middle. And that play goes about like, I'm thinking here, well, those guys didn't have their heart in that play too. Well, they're probably saying, what in the hell is he calling it up the middle for? We've got 2:24 to go. We need to be moving. Well, there's not a slant called. There's not a tight end. There's not a screen play. Perfect would have been a screen pass. Hadn't had it all day. But I'm tickled to death with the progress they've made. I did send him a message through Twitter. Please address the kicking game. If you've got a job somewhere and you're not doing your job at your business, or you're screwing up something in your business, your boss is not going to keep you doing that job for too much longer. So I love Aaron Medley. He's from this area. I saw him play high school. Matter of fact, I work at a station and we do his high school play-by-play. He was here last weekend. We had him on in halftime. He talked about missing the games. He didn't seem very worried about losing his position, though. That was kind of like the coaches were not on him. He wasn't going to lose his job. That kind of shocked me a little bit. That's the feeling I got from the way he commented last week when he was here. But they need to address the kicking game the first thing Monday. If they don't do it all damn day, it needs to be where, you know, you got a guy that kicks a 42-yard field goal and misses. I know he had two longer ones of 51 yards. But 42 yards in the SEC?
Not even close.
Gotta be a chip shot.
42 yards is not even close. And the truth is, he's nine of what? What's the number, Richie?
9 of 17.
9 of 17 on the year. I mean, you're going 500. And he's missed two field goals less than 35 yards, which, again, that is just...
Florida State guy who, they're Aguayo, he's 60 of 66 on his career.
Yeah, but he's the best kicker in the world.
Okay,
I mean, he's
so...
like a Sebastian Jagger.
I mean, if you had...
Let's compare him to Babe Ruth.
So if you missed, like, 10 of those, I mean, you'd still be hitting 80%.
But I want to go back to something Sean Sinclair said earlier about Fuad Rivais. He was making a point about Fuad Rivais. I believe Fuad Rivais 1 year had 8 kicks of over 50 yards.
Oh, he did.
That's
I'm
how
sure.
good that sucker was.
I was thinking about him tonight.
Eight. Think about how good that is.
And, you know, we sit here and say, well,
but
we're
the Jeff Halls of
him.
The world, look, when you get inside 45 yards in college football, you got to make
well,
that
heck,
check.
I mean, 50-yarders are pretty commonplace yeah. now. Now, I'm not going to say that, oh, he's got to make all of those, but you attempted 3 of them, and one was, you know, the one that they iced him on, and you missed all 3. You ought to make 1 out of 3 from 50. That's 33%. I mean...
And you know, to your point, sir, I hate it for that kid because I can't imagine what it's like being in that locker room and looking at your teammates and knowing he's a competitor like everybody is, and it's got to be a horrible feeling. I mean, to look at your teammates and go, geez.
It's just in his head.
But
right
to me,
now.
When you've got a kicker who's coming into the season, and you say the thing that he has to improve on is kicks beyond 40 yards. Well, it's just not working out for him.
Well, how about this?
I don't see the improvement.
But he hadn't made them from under. He struggled all year.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, to your point.
So that tells me you've got to get out there and address the problem. Either you got to go find a walk-on or George yeah. Bullock or Laszlo Tozier or somebody.
Somebody.
You've got to find something else.
Because it's not fair to that kid to keep throwing him out there. I think is the.
You know, he's a good kid.
I'm sure he is.
On him. You've got a job in this world of SEC football. This is gigantic conference. And you've got to get a guy in there because it's a team effort.
Yeah.
Everybody in their position ought to be top-notch, like Tennessee is used to seeing. All these kickers we've had have been excellent and have won many games. Well, we had three field goals today, didn't make one, and we lost the game. So
could have won that game.
Yeah.
You know, I go back to that Miami game when Tennessee went in there and beat them 47, first time in 47 games when Miami was great. And that day they settled for a field goal, won the game. I mean, it counts. That's three scores right there. Not that you're going to get them all, but you should have gotten one, as you said, sir.
You had two.
You
got to
get one. You got to get at least one.
You had two chances where he asked and you kicked it anyway from 50, and then you had another chance. You ought to see what you've done wrong. And
yeah.
Somebody that's good at that, good at noticing a kicker's problem, needs to be working with him Monday. And I think a couple of adjustments, his placement of his placing foot, something's not right somewhere. And I don't know, his coaches don't think what to do to
him. Nobody's helping him, obviously.
I would say this, though. That coming out of the bye week, if he was going to get help with that, that was the opportunity to get that done. It's tough to get somebody to come in there and be able to help coach him up now. You've got Kentucky next week. The bye week was the opportunity to get all that stuff fixed.
You know what might be a good idea is, since Halloween's next week, is to like dress him up in a Jeff Haw costume.
Ooh.
Next week. Let him go out there and kick on Halloween.
Hey, well, matter of fact, he told us last week that he had Jeff Haw working with him on some things. I don't know what, but evidently it wasn't. I mean, he didn't really play it up big, so.
Jeff's very good. Jeff's very good, and Jeff's very passionate. I'll say that. Jeff's very good at teaching kids, and he's very passionate. So, hey, listen, man, I really appreciate you being there, Greg. It's always good hearing from you.
Hey, this is beginning to be a habit, brother.
Hey, thank you, Greg.
Talking to you. Hey, I got to ask you a question before I get off.
Go ahead.
How does Vanderbilt hold Missouri out of the end zone?
Missouri hadn't scored, I don't think, in four football games.
Missouri's offense is wretched.
Yeah, Missouri is, they're bottoming out. They're cratering.
10-3, final.
10-3. After last week's game over in Columbia, Missouri and, it was Missouri and Georgia last weekend. They set SEC football back to like the 30s.
Well, I saw where they said when the gambling lines came out earlier in the week, mm-hmm. that Missouri-Vanderbilt game was the lowest point total on the over of any of them. It was 34 points combined.
Wow.
Who in the world would think
major
that those two offenses
football
were
could
capable
score 34
of
34
points?
Did they go
points?
Under, too? What was the final?
10-7.
10-7. Yeah,
they didn't even come close to
17
it.
Total wow. points.
That was easy pickets if you're a gambler.
Johnny Majors would love that game. He loved games like that. Hey,
I'd have taken the over.
Greg, thanks, man.
No, take care, guys. Anybody that's seen those offenses, you got to take the under. Brutal.
4 points.
We're going to close things out tonight with my man Toby, who I don't know if we've ever talked to, but he's in Johnson City. Toby, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey, T.
Hey, I'm just trying to stay positive. I'm not going to be too negative.
Hey, you know what? I'm proud of you. You're going to join me in that. I'm going to make a New Year's resolution here.
I guess the thing I want to say is, can our receivers... what's the deal with our receivers? Can they not get open? Is it the receivers or is it the coaching?
That is an interesting thought you have. There were a couple of, I'm not going to give any of this away, but there
I
were a
the
couple.
The receivers had a good game today.
There were a couple former Vols that played that position at Cassie's today. A couple of pretty freaking good players, actually. And they. I get the sense from them they don't think our receivers help our quarterback. I don't know.
That's kind of the way I'm seeing it, too. I mean, I just...
Now, I think some young receivers made some big plays today. Malone made a nice catch. A couple other moments.
But there were also times where, for instance, Dobbs took sacks where when you looked and saw
there's
the downfield
there.
Angle, there was
and there's
no
nothing working
open.
Back. And,
right.
And
exactly.
you know the guy who's like the go-to guy on the receiving core is?
Josh Smith.
Yeah.
But you're playing, I mean, you got to know that going in, though. You're playing the best coached secondary in the country, one of the best defenses in the country.
They were exploitable, though, at corner.
And here's my question.
You got to know, like Rich said,
safety.
You can't take some, You can't sit there and run the double fake, sit back there. I mean, it's got to be quick.
Well,
if
yeah.
it's not there, you got to throw it away yeah. and punt. You can't take so many sacks.
The guy, Rusty, a few calls back, sir, I don't know if you heard that, but he's up here in Johnson City. We were arguing with each other's throats, and then we had a love in there at the end. But Glanville made a great point about our passing game in that he said with wideouts too, if you don't do some three-step and get rid of the football stuff, you have all this motion, all this herky-jerky stuff, all this, you know, at what point am I catching the football? There's just not a lot of rhythm to what they do with their passing game.
I look at the wide receiver core and look especially like a guy at Vaughn Pearson.
There you go.
He made plays last year. Now all of a sudden you barely see him getting the ball and doing anything.
Was it all the uncertainty in the offseason?
I don't think so.
Probably didn't help.
I mean, it didn't help matters, but by now you'd think you would at very least see him start trickling in there, making more and more plays as the season goes on.
I wonder if there's like an emotional component to that with him, though. I mean, him specifically.
He's made some nice plays. He's
not like last year.
Not like last year, but he made a couple nice plays today. Made a nice big time play in the Georgia game.
Not big time. No question.
So. I seen during the game, I seen the Jennings, he didn't catch the ball, but I seen him make an unbelievable play on the ball to knock it out of the defender's hand for Alabama.
Yeah, he's a safety.
But you know what got me? When Hurd busted that big play when he was going to run timeout at the end of the first half, he busted that big long run.
Yep.
Right? We got the ball, I think, with 28 seconds, about at midfield. The Alabama was on their third team safety at the time.
Yes.
He was on their third string safety. Why not take a shot down the field right there? Why play for another 45-yard field goal?
It's not their,
you know, the kid's struggling.
It's just not their mentality. I mean, look, at Cincinnati, I'm going to tell you this, and you can do the research. At Cincinnati, they didn't throw the ball downfield. They didn't. And they had nice quarterbacks and nice receivers there. They had a guy, Aurelius Benton, was a nice player. He had Kembrell Tompkins, who transferred from USC, who I think is playing in the NFL right now with the Patriots. They did not throw the ball downfield. It's just not something they believe in.
Well, let me ask you this. Next year, this year, all right, what's done is done. I mean, he is just in his third year, but in my eyes, next year, he don't get a pass. I mean, he don't. In 4 years, if you can't get it done, you're not going to get it done. That's just my opinion. And do you think they can win, you know, moving the ball like they do consistently in the SEC, dinking and dunking down the field the whole way? Do you think they're going to win that way?
Well, the thing that makes that dicier is the fact that at times he's had problems managing the games late in the game. If you're going to play that way, you're going to have close games.
But can you win? Sure, you can win. I mean, yeah, absolutely. If you have leaders on defense and you can hold people late.
Sure.
Hey, if Tennessee had leaders on defense and could hold people late, they'd have two more wins this year. We're talking about a completely different season.
I agree with that.
Well, even with... As odd as Butch Jones has been at times in games, if they could have gotten off the field against Oklahoma, that's a win. And if they could have gotten off the field against Florida, that's a win. Now, again, I'm going back to this conservative stuff. What I'd like to see them do next year, since that's the come year, is when we get in a fourth and long, we're not rushing three. We're rushing six. We're coming to play. We got our guys. We got our two deep, the impenetrable two deep that we were talking about before. Let's play like we mean it. Like you guys are going to do. The guy sitting in my studio here, Toby, got let go from their radio station they were on this week for no fault of their own. Format change, you know, ownership decision, whatever. The next time they get a chance to get on the air, Toby, you know what they're going to do? They're going to attack it. You see what I'm saying?
I don't know. Kind of think about mailing it in.
Interesting.
There's a lot to be said for that. You know?
They're going to be like me.
Hey, I will tell you this. For next year, I think O'Martin's going to be a player, that cornerback. He looked good to me.
God, where's he been?
I think he played a good game.
Where's he been?
That's the other reason that you don't just rush three. You've got a couple of guys in coverage that you know have struggled in coverage.
Yeah, I'm throwing my kitchen sink at you. Hey, listen, man. I really tremendously appreciate your phone call, brother. Thank you.
Yeah, thank y'all.
Thank you. Guys, final thoughts. Richie D from Tennessee.
Yeah, it's like we said, they made progress today. They showed that they could get on the field. They could play with one of the top teams in the SEC, one of the top teams in the country. They went out there. And the thing that impressed me was they won at the line of scrimmage. Different portions of the games, offensive line played well. They ran the ball. The defensive line got pressure on the quarterback. They were able to, Henry still got his. He had about 148 yards, two touchdowns. But for the most part, I felt like the line of scrimmage, they held up. They played hard. They've just got to find a way to finish these games. They had the opportunity and once again let it slip away. The team's getting close. There is reason to believe. But they've got to be able to come in here and finish. And they've got to be able to get off the mat now and not let this carry over to next week. They've got to go up to Lexington and take care of business.
Take the caller Bear, or Robbie, as he's known in the Basilio universe, said, it's disappointing. I'm not as disappointed as I would be or as I have in past losses. That's kind of how I feel. I didn't have tremendous expectations for the game going into the game. Take away some positives, not into moral victories. It sucks to lose, but I fully expect Tennessee to win these next five games. And, it kind of reminds me, and this is probably a bad comparison, but Dooley's first year when Bray came in and they had those last four games, they were 2-6, and they had to win those last four to get bowl eligible, and they did.
If you ever mention Derek Dooley in my presence when you're trying to make a positive point ever again,
I'm going to
use Lorena Bobbitt's knife.
Wow.
On your Adam's apple.
What?
Yes.
What are you doing with Lorena Bobbitt? Okay.
I don't know. I just thought about Lorena Bobbitt's knife, and
it's kind of hard to forget.
A Lorena Bobbitt reference. Where were we going? Was that like 94? John Wayne Bobbitt recovered, by the way. Had a nice film career, as I recall.
Anyway, story cut deep. My father-in-law was a surgeon, okay? My late great father-in-law. Very funny man. Christmas. He went somewhere and got a knife. And it said, and I just married his daughter. It's my first Christmas in their family. And on the knife, I opened it up and it said, John Wayne Bobbitt knife. He gave me the knife at Christmas time.
Welcome.
I'm sorry, we're back.
That's
we're
a tone setter right
you were,
there.
You were making a point. Better days are ahead.
They're going to win these last five games. They're going to go 8-4. They're going to live up to expectations. After all the craziness, the kick and the field goal on the one-inch line, the chart, the Arkansas game, I think this team's going to go 8-4 and live up to the expectations.
Which, again, what that will show me is expectations were a little low because there were a couple more wins out there for this team, and that's what they showed today. What I take away from today is we have a lot of spirit in our fan base. We have a lot of fight in those kids. There's a lot of fight in this history of this program. This is I want you to understand something, though my tone of voice doesn't always dictate this. It matters to me to get an opportunity to do this. I've told Russell many times off the air as we've done this last two or three years, it is really a joy. I pinch myself that we get to do this. I find it a privilege. We're serving you. I don't pretend to have all the answers. None of us do. Man, it is sure fun to get on here and celebrate wins. And I want to hope against hope that that's coming next year. And, as Russell said, it'd sure be nice to rip off five. Get that really bad Virginia Tech team up there next year. Duke beat the living hell out of them today.
Oh, they did. Did you see that? Four overtimes.
They won by 2 points.
Oh, that was a four overtime game?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to just totally piss
Duke crushed them. That's going to be a highly winnable game to launch next season. Tennessee has Texas A&M down there next year. You brought up a great point, Richie. When is Tennessee going to lose next year? If they,
we hear people
saying if they're going to beat Florida and beat Alabama,
who are they going to lose to?
Appalachian State.
I tell you what I'm expecting for next year's team. We will be 365 days from now no matter where we are, we'll be heading into November, and we'll be talking about a team that's getting ready to play in Atlanta. I believe that. Till I see differently.
Could certainly see it. I mean, to
you
me,
can put that in your pipe and smoke it. And that's my final thought. But go ahead.
Yeah, it's Tennessee and it's Florida right now. I mean, Georgia, I mean, they're getting that new hotshot quarterback. But I look at that roster. They've got plenty of holes they've got to fill. Missouri's a mess. South Carolina's a mess.
Look at it.
Yeah.
It's like the NFL. And this league this league mirrors the NFL. The NFL is so full of bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
This league next year is full of question marks.
On Butch Jones next year.
He's going to have, like a guy said earlier.
Demand.
Absolutely. Here's the deal in this league. You get 3 years if you recruit well and not really win. You get 4 years, which he's going to get his fourth. I expect that football team to be in Atlanta next year. And today they took a bet. I think they took a step toward that today. Because when you play Alabama off their feet and they're building and they're smoking cigars and celebrating like they won something, the reality is that it is not far away. It's just not. Guys, I appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for having us.
Let's celebrate cheaters now.
You've probably heard about the North Carolina cheating scandal. Well, you probably don't know about it in great detail because, quite frankly, the level of reportage from the national media on what's going on at North Carolina, in my opinion, as somebody that does a sports radio show, has been embarrassing. It's been so thin. Jay Smith and Mary Willingham have put it together in a book called Cheated, The UNC Scandal, The Education of Athletes, and the Future of Big Time College Sports. And we're going to hopefully cover all that in our allotted time today on Book Corner as I welcome both of you to our forum. And congratulations to both of you on this very needed work.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
And let's just say this before we do anything else. We have to establish this. Jay, you are a professor of history, University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, where much of this has gone on that campus. Mary, you worked in the Center for Student Success and Academic Counseling at Chapel Hill until 2014.
Yes.
While both of you were putting this work together, did you realize it was as far-reaching and it went as far back as it did?
Good question.
That is a good question.
I think Mary understood, because of her experience in the academic support program, she understood just how far-reaching the thing was, but I imagine even she was surprised at the history of it. I was.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I had no idea it went that far back, yeah.
This is an interesting subject to me because I'm a big believer that the one who gets shortchanged in this whole deal, and you guys have made this point, and I appreciate your stance while this goes on these major college campuses of all shapes and sizes, of all repute, unfortunately, where the dollar is in play. And the dollar comes first. We all realize that. Those of us that are going to have an adult conversation on this. But it's really the athlete at the end of the day that really gets shortchanged in this whole equation. It doesn't seem like that on the front end, but that's exactly what's happening. And this whole thing at North Carolina illustrates this, doesn't it?
Yeah, a great case study to show that the athletes are the ones who are really getting cheated. And it's the adults who are doing the cheating, really, not the students themselves necessarily. So, yeah, it's an interesting case study, but I truly believe, and I had a lot of emails while I was going public telling the story. I had a lot of emails, thousands, from other academic support people all across the country and even in the high school system, the K-12 system, telling me that it's happening at other places as well. But nobody wants to talk about it because the culture is so powerful in favor of the sports teams that everybody's afraid of what would happen when they do speak out.
Yeah, well, another hurdle for all of us to get over is this perception that athletes are super privileged. I mean, this is certainly the perception on the typical college campus. Other students see athletes getting preferential treatment in some respects and enjoying celebrity, and they even see some of them go on to
very lucrative careers in the pros, and so they're regarded as these privileged beings. But the fact of the matter is, they're getting the shaft. They're not being paid what the market suggests they're worth, and they're also, even more egregiously, not being given the education as they were promised.
People say to me all the time, well, athletes are getting a free education. That's wonderful if you're able to access it. I think one of the things that you guys point out in the book, and then we're going to get specifically into the North Carolina thing, and we'll drill down on what exactly was going on there. And because I liken it this way. It's Christmas Day, or you're having a birthday. I give you a gift. You open that package, and it's real shiny, and it's real nice, and it looks great to the outside world. Unfortunately, you don't know how to use it. You can't access that gift. That's what we're doing in a lot of cases with these athletes. That's the analogy I make. And here's the thing that you guys talk about that I love is let's have a year where we give you a track where we teach you basic English skills in terms of grammar, teach you how to write a paper, some life skills, some things of that ilk, so at least we're going to put some meat on the bone while we're trying to make it look good for the outside world. At least we're going to make a run at it. And I just wonder, why isn't that done already at the university level? Why pretend?